Right. I don't know the direction today. I don't know where we're going today. So you're going to have to bear with me. Thank you so much, Brenda. We're going to be looking at John chapter 9, verse 1 to 34. I'm going to talk about I can speak for myself. And so if you tell the person next to you that after the end of this service, I'll be able to speak for myself. Thank you, ma'am. Yeah, okay. I get it. So book of John chapter 9, I want us to look at verse 1. You know, sometimes we have lots of people that want to do the talking for us. If somebody asks a question, they quickly jump in. They have the answers. And sometimes also you find Christians who do not know what God has done for them. But we're going to look at this passage and quickly see. We might have to come back to it. If I don't do it, go as far as I want to go, I'll stop when I feel that maybe it's time to stop. You got to pray for that. So verse 1, everybody there in your Bible, John chapter 9. Now as Jesus passed by, I'm going to be paraphrasing some of the verses so that we can go through up to 34. So now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. So he was blind from birth. And verse 2 says, and his disciples asked him, his disciples, they're in this inventory mode. And so they're asking, they're questioning, and they're saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered in verse 3, and he says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Verse 6, and this kind of, it's a kind of strange thing that Jesus would do some odd things sometimes. And so verse 6 says, when he had said these things, the Bible says that he spat on the ground. Everybody say, he spat on the ground. You gotta say like you believe what you're saying. And so he made some clay with the saliva. And the Bible say he anointed the eyes of the blind man with that clay or with that mud. And verse 7 say, and he said to this blind man, the man that can't see where he's going, the man who is now covered with mud on his eyes. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, the word Siloam, obviously, you can see it translated sent. So he went and washed. And the Bible says he came back seeing. If you look at verse 8, therefore the neighbors, and he's got some friends mixed in with all his neighbors. And now they had known him previously. But now they had seen that he was blind. They knew that he was blind. And so they said, is not this he who sat and begged? And verse 9 says, some said, yeah, this is he. And others said, he is like him. And he says, no, you've got it all wrong. It's me. This is me. And then he dropped down to verse 10. It says, therefore they say to him, how were your eyes opened? And he said, a man called Jesus made some clay and anointed my eyes and said, go wash in that pool. And I went and washed. And I received my sight. Drop down to verse 18. And I'm not going to read all of them. I'm going to be paraphrasing. Then verse 18, the religious crowd got to find out what happened to this man. And so they are asking all these questions. You know about your healing. How did you get your healing? How did you do it? What actually happened? And then in verse 16, there is some religious crowd that gets involved. And they're all messed up about all this thing. And the Bible says, and there was a division amongst them. They are now not agreeing. Some believe, yes, this man has been healed. And others are questioning, how did it all happen? That's pretty bad when the religious crowd is all divided over that. And verse 18 is now we see all the Jews involved. And so, and the Bible says they're all concerned about this whole thing. How did this whole thing happen? And so they are all revved up. They're all asking questions. How did you get your sight? How is it that a blind man can see? And then you look at verse 19, they asked them saying, now they're talking to the parents, is this your son who you say was born blind? And then does he now see? And his parents answered and said, "We know that this is our son, and we know that he was born blind, but by what means he now see, we don't know. And we don't know who opened his eyes. But look, he is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself." I'm going to do the speaking for myself. I'll speak for myself. If you go on and you start reading further down, you find out there's still lots of questions. In verse 25, he answered and said in verse 25, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see." And they say to him again, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" And he answered them, "I told you already." He's got an attitude now. And he says, "I told you already, and you didn't listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to be his disciple again? Do you also want to be his disciple?" And that's the last thing they wanted to hear. Now he's got them all stirred up, revved up, got the religious crowd stirred up, got the Jews all stirred up, got all these people in such a mess. And then you go to verse 34, they answered and said to him, "You were completely born in sins. And are you teaching us?" And the Bible says they cast him out, which means, just basically means that they excommunicated him. He was cast off. He was put away. Let's pray and ask God for direction this morning. Father, we pray that you will come and meet with somebody today. That you will come and open somebody's eyes today in this place. We pray, Lord, that that pool that you sent, that blind man who will be in this room this hour right now, that power to heal, that power to touch, that power that comes and anoints. We pray, Lord, come and anoint our eyes. We pray for revelation of Jesus, that we'll be able to know Jesus for ourselves. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. And I like this passage. I really like it because it brings out a lot of things. Now, there's a few things that I want you to notice as we begin. I want you to notice that there are no less than 10 times we find Jesus healing someone that is blind. And all of those healings that we find in the Bible, they're all blind men. Jesus is healing blind men. And one of the famous blind man healing stories we find in the Bible, it's my favorite one, which is the healing of blind Bartimaeus. When he was healed, he saw Jesus passing by, and he says, "This is my miracle moment." And he says, "I can't see him. I can just sense something is happening. And this is the time I'm going to do something. I'm going to draw his attention." And so as Jesus is passing by, he started shouting and he says, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And as he said that, Jesus stopped and he engaged with him. Jesus stopped and he allowed to communicate himself with this man. The disciples and others that were there, they were saying to him, "You are making too much noise. Keep it down. Jesus doesn't want to know about you." But Jesus said, "Because you have done something extraordinary." I want to just say this. If you want an extraordinary move of God in your life, it takes sometimes doing extraordinary worship of God, where you say, "I'm going to do whatever it takes to draw his attention." And so this man, I say, "I'm not going to listen to what the crowds are saying. I'm not going to listen to everything they're saying. I'm going to draw his attention." And so as he did, Jesus interacted and he healed him. Now, when you look at that passage of this healing of blind Bartimaeus, you find that he exercised great faith. He had to do something extraordinary. He had to push. There were lots of people there, probably who were blind and struggling with different issues in their lives, but they didn't raise their voices, they didn't do anything to draw his attention, but he decided to engage with Jesus. He exercised that great faith. But when you come to this story, this particular story, in John chapter 9, you find that this blind man didn't do anything. He didn't exercise great faith until Jesus interacted with him. So Jesus looked at this man. It is actually the disciples that decided to and to ask questions about this man. He's basically sitting there and he's saying, maybe he's saying, this is my portion, this is my life, I accept where I am, I accept things are always going to be like this, and so this is where I'm going to be. But the disciples started asking questions, they started interacting with Jesus, and so they asked this question, they say, is this man who has sinned and caused this blindness or caused him to be born blind, or is it his parents that have caused this man to be born blind? Now, I don't know maybe whether you thought the same thing that came to mind when I was reading that story. I came to this conclusion that this is a silly question that the disciples were asking. Silly in that how can this blind man who's born from birth blind, how would he have sinned? He couldn't have sinned, isn't it? Is it just me? No? And so how could this man be blinded? Perhaps the question that the disciples needed to ask was, is it the parents' fault that this man is born blind? I got thinking about that and I found myself reflecting and saying, these people, they were trying to look for somebody to affix a blame on. They were trying to find somebody that they can say, it is this person who has caused the blindness of this person. And so if you look at Jesus' response, he says, it is neither the parents nor this man has sinned. It is not a sin issue in this context. Amen? I believe that we do sin and the sin causes lots of consequences. Consequences. My teacher always say consequences. And I know it's wrong. I'm not going to say that. These consequences. Yeah. So Jesus says it's neither this man nor the parents that have caused this to happen. And so they're asking these questions and they're really concerned and they're engaging with this. And I really got thinking and saying, this is not a sin issue. This is not an issue that has been caused by sin. And sometimes we all start blaming each other. The conservative, they're blaming the labor. The labor, we're blaming Thatcher. And the church also get caught up in the blaming game. And they say it's the devil, or it's that so and so, or if it's that person, or that person who has caused me to do this. I pray to God that as a church we will wake up and not blame anybody, and not say, I haven't got time to blame the pastor. Some people say, I don't go to church because of what the pastor did to me. I don't go to church because of that church in general, what they did to me. But it's not a blaming game. The devil says, it's not me, you can't throw that one on me. It's God's people who can't get along. And so these people who were surrounding Jesus, they were looking for someone to blame. Someone to give or to affix the blame on. So when you look at verse 3, Jesus said, you can't blame this man. You can't blame his parents. But this whole thing is for the works of God to be seen in this man. Can I just say that sometimes some of the things that you are going through, the difficulties, the hardship of life, the unfortunate things that we go through, sometimes we go through them so that God's glory may be seen in you. So that God's glory and God's kingdom may come and be manifested in your life. Can I be bold and say maybe the things that you are going through, they are there to put you or move you to a place of connection with God, to a place where you will depend heavily on God and not on yourself. And so they are doing all this. They are this blaming game. When I read that and spent time reading that story, I found myself really caught up on something. I got thinking and see that the blind man is really the picture of a generation. It's a picture of a generation. It's a generation that's rising up in the world and also in the church who can't seem to get their vision, who can't seem to see where they're going. Their whole life, there is no purpose, there is no vision. If you ask them what's your purpose in life, they have no idea. They are blind.
you look around, it's a generation that was born blind. They were born that way. In other words, they are born blind in a world, in a society that has caused them to be blind to a better life. That has caused them to be blind to the things of God. That if you were to talk to them about the things of God, they don't want to know. That the things that are abnormal have now become normal in their eyes. Because the devil has managed to blind our eyes. Sadly, he has done it also in the church. We have become hardened and we have become, if you like, we have devalued the connection with God or the worship of God to a kind of worship that feels good for ourselves. And so we end up doing things to please our own flesh. We end up getting caught up in the things that only glorifies us and not glorify God. If it feels good, we're going to do it because this is what we want to do. Our Christianity, somebody says, has become a buffet Christianity where we pick and choose what we want. If it's hard, we're not going to engage with that. The fasting, we're not going to do that. We're just going to do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And so the church gets sometimes caught up. Because if you look, I mean, this generation I'm talking about, if you look at all the predictions that are coming towards them, you'll see it in the news, you see it in the papers, you see it every time you look around you. They say you're not going to have money for education. The social security is not going to be stable enough for your health care. You're not going to have a better future. What sort of future? You're not going to even be able to afford to buy your own home. And what sort of community are we leaving our children? And so it's a bleak future that our children and young people are having to face in. And so it's the nation has blinded them. It is, they've become so blind. Now when I see that generation, I look at all that problem, I see that, it is a generation without vision. I realize it is a blindness that the government itself are not able to fix. It's a blindness that nobody, not even Cameron, can fix this problem. Even though we look up to them, even though we look up to the government to say maybe things will be all right. Maybe if we strike, if we do A, B, C, and D, maybe this will cause the government to do something that will fix the current situation. Can I just give you some bad news? The government, they are not in a position to fix the current blindness that we are going through. It takes somebody who will send somebody to a pool that's full of anointing. And that's what we're going to look at today. The government are not in a position to fix the problem. Because the Bible says where there is no vision, the people perish. When a church gets so stuck in the ways of doing things that only pleases them, that only feels good for them, if an individual gets stuck, if a family gets stuck in one way of doing life and sort of become blinded of the things that God wants to take them, if we get stuck on the revelation of yesterday, what God revealed to us yesterday, and we become faithful to that and fail to see where God is taking us tomorrow, we become blinded to the things of God. I don't want to hear about what God did yesterday. Praise God for what God did yesterday in my life. I give thanks for what God did yesterday in my life. I give thanks for all the blessings of yesterday. But I'm praying that God, I want to see you move in my life today. I want to see a fresh revelation of Jesus in my life today. May I know you today that I knew you yesterday. That's the place that God wants us to come to, where our eyes are constantly open to the things of God, where our physical and spiritual eyes are constantly looking to what God has to say to us. Now, when you stop and you put this into perspective, as it relates to the church, as it relates to churches that are stuck in the status quo, I'm talking about churches that refuse to change, churches that don't want to allow the move of the Spirit to come and transform, churches that want to get stuck. Churches that don't want to invest in the young people and minister to the young people and raise up a generation that is passionate for God. A church that's only seeking to do things the way that we have always done things. A church that says we don't want to move forward with God, but we are happy where we are.
People perish because of lack of wisdom. And so the church, these churches that won't support any kind of ministry that's taking place, they spend most of their time murmuring, complaining about nothing rather than doing something for God. And so you see it with the disciples as these, they're asking questions. They could have gone and put their hand around that blind man and prayed healing for that blind man. But they didn't do that. They spent some time murmuring, asking questions. And the church is locked up in a situation where we are trying to figure out things. We spend more time in meetings figuring out things. Why are things so bad these days? Why do people don't worship God like they're supposed to worship God? Why do people do things the way they do things? Why? Why is it that the nation has become so anti-God these days? But God is saying, I'm going to raise up a generation that is not afraid to speak. That will get their hands dirty and not spend time trying to figure out something. That will go on and do and lay their hands on a generation and say, you will receive your sight. Amen. Yeah, I don't know, maybe it's just me. So they're trying to affix this blame on somebody. Why is this generation so blind? Is it this generation's fault or the former generation before them that have seen? Whose fault is it? We can't have revival. So who are we going to blame over that? People don't live holy anymore. So we got to blame it on somebody. Who caused this blindness? And some of us, this is a very sensitive subject. Some of us, we go through our lives blaming our parents. And I know some of our parents, you know, including my parents, they didn't do everything right. They did their best. But you can't go on blaming people for what happened in the past. Yes, what happened has happened. But you can choose to be defined by how God defines you today. You can choose to have a different view of yourself in the future. Don't allow your past to define you. Don't allow what has happened to you to become, if you like, your identity, but allow God to transform you and bring healing and walk you into that place of connection with Him. So who sinned? This man or his parents? But this is not a sin issue. Now if you go to verse 6, Jesus said, I got to deal with this. This blind man has been inventoried by my own disciples and they're trying to figure out what's caused this blindness. So Jesus said, I've got to show them something or they are going to stay stuck where they are. They are going to remain where they are. So if you look at verse 6, Jesus says, Jesus spat on the ground and the Bible says that he made clay or mud and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. Everybody say, he anointed the blind man's eyes. I want you to notice this. When we think of anointing, very often we think of what we do when we are anointing someone. We think of oil, taking oil, putting it on a finger, and then just, if you like, just touching the person with that oil. But that's not what the word anoint means. The word anoint means to rub. And so the picture here is one of rubbing. It means to rub. It means to smear. So when the Bible says that Jesus spat on the ground and he took the mud, I presume he took a handful of it and he rubbed the eyes of the blind man. He smeared on this blind man's eyes. And as he did that, he then asked him to man to go and wash. I don't know about you. I got thinking when an eyelash goes into my eye, how irritating and how disturbing, frustrating that is. If you have sand in your eye, it's a little speck of it, but it will cause discomfort. It will cause you to do something. You will ask somebody, have I got something in my eye? And so some people start looking into their own eye. You got to wash this dirt away. So I got thinking about this. Why did Jesus rub the mud into this blind man's eye?
And then ask this man who can't see where he's going, and now he's got mud all on his eyes and his eyeballs. Why did he then send him away and say, go to the pool and wash your face? I got thinking about that sometimes the things that we go through in life, God sometimes allows frustrations and irritations to come in our lives to move us to a place of faith. Are we still there? Yeah? And so maybe the thing that you are going through in life right now, maybe this man wouldn't have moved had Jesus not put mud on his face. This man wouldn't have said, I gotta do something about my eyes, had Jesus not touched or spat on the ground and put them on his eyes. Hence, he's been like this all his life. And so Jesus comes and he says, I'm going to take some irritants and put them on your eyes, and you're going to want this thing so bad. You're going to want to see, even though you have not asked me to see, I want you to see so bad. And so I'm going to put some irritations on your eyes. And so this man, once he's got this mud on his eyes, and Jesus says, you gotta go and wash me. You gotta go and do that. And so he says, oh yes, I gotta do this. Get rid of this thing. As he does that, the Bible says he went, he washed, he came back seeing. Some of you, you wouldn't have prayed as much as you are praying right now had Jesus not thrown in some of those irritants. Some of those things, they come because the devil says, I'm just going to frustrate you and cause you to lose faith in God. But it takes somebody who is focused on God, somebody who says, I can't see, Lord. And some of us are comfortable in our blindness, and we have accepted our blindness. And so Jesus says, I want you to see so bad, I'm going to rub some mud. I don't know. I think it's maybe just me who gets accepted. You know, I'm going to finish it. Some of the things that we go through in life, God allows it to bring us to that place of connection. Now, God knows I like my sleep. He knows I love to sleep. And when I'm sleeping, I don't just get up. You can come bang the door, I'm sleeping. But you know what he says? He says, honestly, I don't want you to pray at 12:30 in the afternoon. I want you to pray at 3 a.m. I want you to get up at 3 a.m. and pray. I want you to get up and pray. And I say, God, I don't like waking up in the middle of the night. And he says, I want you to want so bad what you want in life. You know, and so 3:30 comes, you jump up and say, God, the first few times I'm just thinking, God, I'm just half dead. I'm just half asleep. And so you pray 5 minutes and you go back to sleep. But you know, as time goes on, you find actually God allows you, gives you grace to do that. Some of us, we wouldn't have become committed as committed we are had God not put in something. Some of us, we become so comfortable in where we are. And God says, I'm going to put something to move you to that place of connection with me. I'm going to put you in this position or allow you to go through this, so that you may be able to move yourself. Otherwise, you will not move yourself. Perhaps some of the discomforts that you're going through, the frustrations that you're going through, maybe in church here, you feel so frustrated with what's happening. You feel so fed up. Perhaps God is putting something in you to move you to that place where you can depend on him, where you can give yourself to God. The Bible says this, as he went, he washed, and he came back to that place where his eyes were spread with the mud. His friends, his family members, his neighbors, they could not recognize him. Can I just say this? The people that surround us, they don't want us to see us change. They want you to become the same. But this man, as he came back, he had managed to break the cycle of dysfunction. As he came back, the parents were afraid to speak about this whole thing. And so they asked the parents, and the parents were really afraid. And the parents said, he's of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself what God has done for him. And so they asked this man, and the man says, all I know is I was blind, but now I see. And then he goes on to say, have I not told you already?
I was blind, but now I see. You know, God is raising up a generation of people that are not afraid of people. The parents were afraid of what these religious people say. They were afraid of what people think. I want to ask you this question. Who are you afraid of this morning? You know, sometimes when we come to church, you hear people say, I wanted to do this for God. I wanted to speak out what God has done for me. I wanted to declare the love of God. But something told me you can't speak for yourself. Something said you got to remain seated where you are. But I want to pray that God raise up a generation of people that will not be afraid to speak for themselves. That will declare what God has done in their lives. That will stand up and say, I don't care what all of you are going to say about this. All I know is I once was lost, but now I'm found. I believe today in this room, there is that pool that this man was sent. The pool of grace, the pool of mercy, the pool of power. I believe some of us, God has been rubbing our eyes with mud. And so we've been experiencing things in our lives. And so some of us have come today because we feel our eyes are irritating us. They're frustrating us and we want to see so bad. And God has brought you here for Him to wash you in that river of life. Amen? And I want to give this opportunity to say, if it's you, I want to invite you to come. We're going to pray together as we allow God to wash off our mud, off our faces, and give us the ability to see Him. Where there is no vision, people perish. And so we pray that we'll be able to see, to receive vision. There's some of us here that have no purpose in life. You find yourself just doing things. Jesus wants to meet with you today. Some of you, you didn't choose. You didn't raise your hand to say, God, I want this. But God says, I want you to see so bad. I'm not going to wait for you to ask me. I'm just going to come and attend to you. I want you to see so bad. There are so many people here today that God wants them to see so bad that they themselves, they know they want to see, but they can't be bothered for whatever reason. But God is saying, I'm rubbing some irritant, some frustration in your eye. You got to get that mud washed today. You can't go through another day like this. You can't go through another day. Enough is enough. You have gone through life in circles and God is saying, I've brought you to that place where that all of that can be washed away. And you can see. You can have this clear vision again. You can have purpose and value and meaning of life again. He can take you to that place where you are not afraid to speak of what He has done in your life. I'm going to invite you to come and pray with us. I'm going to invite the worship team to come as we sing the next song. Allow people to come as the prayer ministry come and pray with us here today. The Bible says if you hear His voice, don't harden your hearts. Don't worry about the person next to you. Don't worry about them. They would want you to stay the same. But as Jesus touches your eye, you will never be the same. Your life will never be the same again. When He touches you, He transforms your whole life. He gives you vision. He gives you your sight back. And He wants to do that today. There's a man who needs to know Him. A young man who needs to know Him. If it's you, come. Come to Jesus. He wants to touch you.
You know, I thank God, you know, when I was given that opportunity, I remember I was holding on to the ground and I said, I'm not moving. I said, no ways. There's no way I'm doing this. But I don't know how I got to the front. And I thank God they sang the next song. And they kept talking. You know, that's why sometimes I go on and and some people may be saying, you've said that already. But you know, sometimes we go through these times where God is convicting us, but we are afraid of what might happen. What Jesus will do in your life today is for your good. He will give you a vision. He will give you a revelation. Amen? Please come to Jesus. You can't go on another week, another month like that.